Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it's Tuesday, February the 9th, 2021, and I have the honor to have Professor Paul and Professor Joel on with me. I don't know about the rest of you, but boy, we got a mess here in Kansas City, and I've never seen anything like this amount of ice, but it's all iced down, and it's running from us to clear up you, Paul. And you got it worse than I do as far as temperatures. I mean, we're sitting around zero. Now they're talking about 7 to 10 below here by the end of the week or the beginning of next week. So I guess we're in a deep freeze for a couple of weeks. The whole country's kind of in that. But if you notice, I've noticed it, it's friggin' heart running because we got hit yesterday with a counterclockwise storm. Backtracking, that's a harp. Anyway, with that said, welcome Professor Paul. Welcome Professor Joe. Now, Joe, pick it up from here. You called us this morning. We had a talk about different things. I want you to bring it up, subject matter.
All right. For those of you that are maybe new to the show or new to the conspiracies, if you want to call them that, one of the underlying pins of the conspiracy is found in what we call Christian Zionism, which goes back to the time of the Schofield Bible and Schofield, who worked with people like Samuel Untermeyer. And those of you that do not know who Samuel Untermeyer was, he was one of those that helped to form the Federal Reserve System, which is a private banking system, which we think that it's part of the federal government, and it is not. And it is a Rothschild means of getting the money out of your pocket called debt. So Samuel Untermeyer, with other unnamed persons, took the King James Version of the Bible and took the verses out and added their verses, and they worked through Oxford Press. And they produced the Schofield Bible, which then became very popular in the evangelical movement. And the evangelical movement is very much a part of the conspiracies. And as you know, if you paid any attention to these, particularly the tele-evangelists, you will see that they were absolutely, every one of them were corrupt. Paul and Jan Crouch, Jimmy Swaggart, who participated in a murder, and other people like Pat Robertson, who smuggled in diamonds on his missionary airplanes. Same thing for some of the other evangelists, which I won't go into. So it was a movement that was started by the International Globalist Jew. And what it was a means to subterfuge Christianity and eventually get its undying support for the illegitimate state of Israel. And so there is a lot of writings out there that have put an end to the influence of the tele-evangelist. And I personally thought, well, it was kind of at an end. Well, I went to TBN to see what was going on, and lo and behold, they are going full force with Paul Krause Jr. and his wife, and they are using all kinds of modern techniques of color sound that is borderlines on mind control. And so they presented a program called The Chosen, and it's produced by the guy, what was the guy's name that wrote the Left Behind series?
Tim LaHaye.
Tim LaHaye's son and another gentleman produced a series called The Chosen, which was the story of Jesus. And they did a really good job, from what I've seen, on presenting how things were. But there were other subtleties that didn't match up that I saw that was being used to make changes in the way we view things. And originally, it didn't pan out, and they thought it was at the end, but out of nowhere came $10 million. But at the same time came another individual by the name of Rabbi Soibel. And he was a nice gentleman that was raised as an Israeli Jew, went through his bar mitzvah, went further up. Now, I don't know whether he is a certified rabbi or not, but I think he is. But he supposedly had a supernatural experience of meeting Jesus Christ, which converted and changed him, and he discovered the Mashiach, the Messiah. And he went on his campaign to try to convert the Israelis over to accepting Jesus as the Messiah, the Mashiach. So the understanding was that if you want to do this program called The Chosen, you have to bring in Rabbi Soibel, who will help you in understanding that story of the time of Jesus. So again, what we're pointing to again, here we go again with what we call the TV evangelists. We're back, and they are there for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to get the Christians' absolute support of the illegitimate state of Israel, which is really Rothschild Israel, because the Rothschilds are the ones that own 80% of the property in Israel. And there's all kinds of things that Stu has talked about called the Promise Program and the ARC CPU, in which now the state of Israel has the capability of going into any computer they want to around the world. And so these are highly connected, and you, and I'm going to make a racial statement here because I'm not being a racist, but I'm telling you what they have said. People like Oprah Winfrey and some other people on NBC, KNBC, Don Lemon, many others. The white man must go. They said it. I didn't. The white man must be eliminated. Now, why? Why would these people do this? Why have they said there are white supremacists hunting black men? Why are they doing that? When the truth of the matter is, between 2013 and 2015, 750,000 assaults, that's where you get beat up, were performed on white men by black men. Got beat up. Same thing, the Mexicans did the same thing. 420,000 attacks on whites by Mexicans, where you get beat up. So what's going on here? And so one of the things that you will see is a absolute promotion of the other races and the disenfranchisement of the white man that might be on that program. Now remember, I'm not being the racist. They are. So we have a problem here. Why is this going on? And then when you get to the bottom of things and realize certain points, that the white man carries the banner of Christ. They brought about the white European culture, of which is being decoupled. Most people in the United States have no idea of what's happening in Europe. They are being inundated by Africans and Middle Easterners. Inundated. You go down to the central part of Paris and the Champs-Élysées zone, and it's mile after mile of tents occupied by black men and Middle Easterners. There are sections in Paris where you absolutely cannot go into because otherwise you will be shot. And the average Frenchman cannot own a gun. Where are the guns kind of coming from?
And they're tearing the hell out of cars over and stealing cars, aren't they? From what I heard, a lot of things are burning.
Every weekend, there will be car burnings throughout Germany, throughout Sweden, in Malmo. In Sweden, they had last year 249 bombings. 249 bombings. These are not little bombs, big bombs. Cars being blown up, cars set on fire, people shot, women raped, right and left. If you are a German woman and you get raped and you get called that in, you will be prosecuted.
Now, I got a question for you, Joe. Why weren't, and I'd say this to the government, why weren't those in Seattle and the other Oregon where they burned everything and occupied and all that, why weren't any of them arrested?
That is correct. And so that brings in another issue concerning Trump. And now it's becoming, and I'm going to say this, you can go to, like I said yesterday, go to Henry Mako and read the article that he has written where there was a formal meeting with General Flynn, Sidney, and Paul Byrne, who outlined for Trump the means by which he would have a 95% chance of having the election declared a fraud. And he backed off and wimped out.
Maybe not.
He wouldn't do it.
There's some kind of hearing with Sidney. What that's about, I don't know. I don't speak for her. There's nothing out there that she said that I'm aware of. But when is that? Like the 28th or something? Or something like that.
February. So, on the 21st, okay. They're going to have a meeting. But the point
at
that's
the Supreme
being
Court.
Made here is you can read what the conversation of that informal meeting with Flynn and Sidney and Paul and what they presented to Trump. You can go to Henry Mako and read it. And it is his expose of what happened at the meeting. So I'm not giving you conspiracies here. I'm giving you actual facts that you can find out what really happened.
And that's where a lot of people, I think, Joe, because we went under martial law before he left, reportedly, which I haven't seen the other, but the martial law thing, I can confirm it was about 2 weeks before the inauguration or whatever it was. Now, because someone called me and told me we were on a red alert, and that means we're under martial law. Point is, that did happen. Now, Sidney's got an appointment. Some people that I know maintain that, and I don't want to say which ones, but you know them. They maintain, and one of them is his attorney is Sidney Powell. Now, he did a long testimony for 6 weeks up there. Some serious testimony of some serious crimes that were committed against the United States by our own government officials. So there's a lot of heavy testimony that went on that I am aware of. What is going to happen with that, I don't know. But something, I think, with this hearing on the 28th deals with some of this shit. I don't know. We'll see. But I think in the bigger picture, what you're talking about, the playbook that they have written, scripted for all this, is these end-time prophecies and all this crap. I want you to continue, Joe.
All right, the point being here is these end-time prophecies are rabbit holes. They are, every one of them are rabbit holes. It's not anything that is really new. It goes all the way back to the time of Ignatius of Loyola. It is something that is to divert mankind away from standing up for himself and standing up to the adversary. There is no end-time prophecy. The end-time prophecy was created by them, by misusing and overstating different Bible verses. There's no end-time prophecy. It's made up by them. They are the ones that are trying to bring this about. That's why I say, if you want to get into this, where you don't go down the rabbit hole and you want to keep in tune with what's going on, go read Revelation 13. That's the easiest thing I can say, because all of it, every bit of it, is a rabbit hole. Oh, Trump is really conducting things from Mar-a-Lago. Trump is going to make the last stand. Trump is going to do this. He did none of it. None of it. We're going to build the wall. We're going to build the wall. He didn't. We're going to return the invaders back to Mexico and to Guatemala, back to Honduras. And then I had my friend in Mexico, in El Paso, go to a spot where they were crossing, and in a 24-hour period, 2,400 people came through, and they were not in rags. They were well-fed, well-dressed, and in good health. And they sit there and talk to the Border Patrol. Why didn't Trump say arrest and return? He never did. We had more people come in under Trump than we did with Obama. And that's a fact. So if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Trump was put in there. He wasn't an outsider. Sidney Webb put an end to all of that nonsense with hardcore facts.
Unlimited Hangout is where the website is, folks. I put a couple of the articles up, but on Unlimited Hangout is Whitney Webb's site. She did some good stuff with the ties to Trump's and a lot of New World Order pigs. But I know that Millman, my ex-witch doctor's father that took over for Meyer Lansky, I know that him and Daddy Bush tried to put him out of business in Atlanta on his bankruptcy. And it was Henry Kissinger that bailed him out with Deutsche Bank. And Kissinger's one of the fallen angels, and Millman was possessed, and Daddy Bush. So there you go. They let him build up, and then they tried to tear him down. Let him come back, be successful again, work harder, make us more money that we steal from you. That's an example of what they do to their own buffers, they call them.
Whitney Webb interviewed a woman by the name of Summers. And Summers had interviewed a gal that brought in another woman, a young gal at 14 years of age. And this woman confessed before Maureen Summers of what Trump did to her at 14 years of age. And she repeated the words she said. She said to Trump, "Sir, I'm only 14. This is my first time." He shut up, screwed her, and she said, "I don't want to get pregnant." His words were to her, "We'll get you an abortion, bitch."
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever, think about this, I was forced in Las Vegas by a good friend to sit down and watch the devil's advocate a couple times with him. And he backed it up at the end about six or seven times. And there this guy, he's the devil, he shapeshifts into a different human. And he's in there, and he's trying to get his brother, or his son, by one gal, pregnant with, or have sex with a daughter by someone else, and all this, and they're playing a game, and in the end of the movie, that everything's moving on the walls, and the stuff, these figures that he had, and he makes a statement, he says, yeah, he says, you know how I've done it? I did it through attorneys, and he was an attorney. I did it through attorneys. I hid my wealth and identity through attorneys, corporations. That's the truth. That's how they've done it. The General Accounting Office says 400 men control 95% of the U.S. economy in 2012. Norman Brownstein, one of the six CI counsel. Natale, out of New York, another one. I forgot the other one's names. I've got it all archived. They are the ones. Bill Barr served underneath them. They are the ones that control the devil's money here in America. They controlled Millman's, they controlled Bush's. There's an attorney in Fort Worth. If Bush is really dead, he became the new fallen angel possessed kingpin. I'll pull his name up sometime. But go ahead, Joe.
So continuing on, it is not a vote. It is not a vote of choosing the lesser of evils. He was put in there to accomplish the fact of identifying the patriot, to get to find them, identify them, tag them, and then eventually eliminate them. And how are they doing it? Right now, with the COVID vaccine. And Trump is the one that got it started. Wasn't anybody else? So if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Either that or he realized that the power that he was up against was too enormous. I don't know which, Joe. I'm always trying to give people the benefit of the doubt, okay? And yeah, I've done it with all of them.
The point is that there's too much out there that he did not do. One of the things that he did was how in the world do you have the lawful authority to move an embassy? You don't have that. You can't do that.
I know. Putting the embassy in Jerusalem. I said, oh man, the Christians missed that one.
And in his tweet, he said, I am the king of Israel.
And he gave what? The Golan Heights, and his sons tied into that. And now it turns out to be, I don't know what his real last name was, but Charlene claims his last name, Vives, is Kirshner. I don't know, Joe, there was another name you came up with. But the area, I mean, who knows? Vivi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, folks, just vaccinated two-thirds of the entire country. He's going to have the other third done by the end of February. It sounds like Christ killers to me. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know about the two-thirds. I know where that came from. I'm not sure of the...
They're claiming on national news, Joe, is where I saw it. I don't know. Yeah. A couple of different stations.
Where I saw it and read it is that they are going to try to do two-thirds. We have enough vaccines to do two-thirds of Israel. That's what I read.
Well, I wasn't reading it.
Now, really. Whether or not they are going to do it, or whether they've done it now or not, I don't know. But I can say concerning this, whether it is, well, if why are they doing this to the Jews and all of that stuff? Well, that's another issue. The point of it is there is a man that is carrying out a genocide of us, because it's happening in Europe right now. You just don't get it on the news. The number of women that have been raped by Muslims in England is astronomical. Astronomical. And hundreds of women are sold, British women are sold in the sex slave trade of the Muslims. You don't hear about this because the news media does not want you to see what's going on. Think of it. In one period of time, 249 bombings by Muslims and Afrikaners. 249 people shot left and right. I've seen videos of where hundreds of black Africans stormed a border. It was like being raided by a bunch of wild beasts, screaming and yelling and burning and looting. You never heard of anything like that on the news. So when we have certain things going on here in the United States, south of the border, because I keep hearing, keep your eye on the border during the first part of Biden's administration, because that's where the action is going to be to complete this conspiracy.
They want, now Biden's already said he's deploying 15,000 National Guard to go in as FEMA and to vaccinate everybody, set up these places and get vaccination to them, get them vaccinated. And he wants to do 100 million in his first 100 days, and he wants to get the rest of America vaccinated by the end of the year. I don't know about you folks, I'm not taking it. It melts down your immune system. Joe can explain that. Plus, it's got the mark of the beast in it. It's got a chip in there. It's in Revelations 13. You can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. I'm not taking it. I have a Second Amendment right. I'm speaking my First Amendment right with this radio broadcast. My Second Amendment is in my pocket. And my attorney says, as I ask him, can they force this? Nope. He says, that's what my Second Amendment right is for. He says, they come to vaccinate me. He says, I'm going to use my Second Amendment right. An attorney told me that. But go ahead, Joe.
So the point all is being is that what originally prompted this call was, what is happening with the TV evangelists? They have not gone away, and their power has been increased. And that is the propaganda arm that is brainwashing the Christians.
Come join the club and let me pray for you. Let me do the praying for you. Let me tell you a story. You made a point, Joe. I'm in Las Vegas. I had a friend that was a powerful prayer warrior, and she was single. She's cute as all can be. I introduced her and her husband, by the way, at a Patriot meeting, because he wanted to meet her. Well, anyway, we used to hold meetings at her place, prayer meetings. And she and I prayed on New Year's Eve 1999 and saw the pyramids in Egypt all of a sudden, couldn't shoot their laser beams to the ionosphere and glow the planet into the illuminated one that evening, as all these New World Order pigs, Milman Bush, Kissinger, all the disciples, show up at the pyramid in Egypt. And they're doing their 1999 to 2000 thing, and this is the New World Order switchover. Introducing the New World Order. The Queen of England was going to light on the Tam River. They had somebody running out there, a boat dropping for 6 miles, diesel fuel, a little spray of diesel fuel, and she's going to light it from her wooden boat. Well, she says, let's pray, Stu, because I was hanging out at her place that night with some others. So she and I go out in the garage, we get on our hands and knees, start praying. Come back in a few minutes later, we see that all of a sudden a storm forms over Egypt, and all of a sudden they can't do their laser lights and starts raining like hell, and it's a big cloud over it and a whole bit. They can't illuminate the planet, bouncing off the ionosphere of these lasers. So it run the party. Then we hear about the Queen. She's getting ready to torch here in another 15 minutes. She says, let's go back to the garage. I said, okay. So we went out in the garage, prayed, got on our hands and knees, come back in. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the river starts shaking and rocking and stuff in her boat, and she refuses to fire it up and started raining on them. Well, that was the end of their party. I said, that's the power of prayer. Well, here's the story. She calls me up one time, says, Stu, she says, what are you doing this evening? It was like a Friday night, I think it was, or something. And I said, nothing really. I'm hanging out here. She says, come on over and let's have dinner. She says, I need your help. I said, what's the deal? She says, well, she says, and I don't want to mention her son's name, but he was about 15, and she found porno magazines stuffed underneath his mattresses or something. So she's going to have him and some of his friends over, and she wants me to come talk to him. So they went, okay, because her husband was working that evening, and it was the opportunity that she found to grab him. So I go over there, you know, start talking to him, and they're all sitting around. She had a large living room, and so she starts talking to him about God and what porno and stuff like this, and you know, if you got to have a girlfriend, as I put it, you know, rather than looking at porno, why don't you go find yourself a girlfriend? That's the way I kind of put it to him. But here was the deal. She wanted to pray with him. So we all come together and hold hands and pray, and she prays for him, and I prayed for a minute. And then I just listen to her as she's going through verses and talking to him about the facts of life and different things, being a mother, trying to set him straight. stay away from the crap on the computer because she found it on the computer. So I said, and God told me to ask him this. If God answered one prayer for you, and I pointed to the one on my left, if God answered one prayer for you, what would it be to prove to you that he's real? The first kid, he says, oh, I want to see if hell's real. I looked and thought, uh-oh. Then I go to the next one, I said, and it was her son, and I said, what would be the one prayer? He says, a new pair of tennis shoes. I said, told him by his first name. I said, you need the money for a pair of tennis shoes? He goes, no, I got the money. She always took her, my friend, took her child support and put it in a bank account for him, and he could spend out of it, and wisely, and use it for his college. And that's what she did with the money, rather than eating off it, and a lot of women have to, and so on and so forth. So he says, no, I just can't find it my size. I said, okay. What would be your prayer? And this guy's name was Azagi. And he was a Christian, but he's from the Middle East. And I said, Azagi. I said, what would it be for you? He says, I want the gift of healing. I said, what? He says, I want the gift of healing. I said, okay. And I pointed to the last one. I said, what about you? He said, I want peace and harmony in my home. I said, okay. So I said, well, let's come together. Let's pray about this. So they think I'm going to do the praying for them, like the preachers do for everybody. I said, hey, you're first. Grabbing him, bumping him. What? I said, yeah, you have to ask God. I can't ask for you. All I can do is be in agreement with you. Ask him. He said, well, I changed my mind about hell. I want to see heaven instead. I said, okay, ask him. So he prays. He gets through praying. Everybody's kind of looking at each other. I said, you're next. So he prayed for his tennis shoes. The third one, he prayed for the gift of healing. The fourth one, he prayed for peace and harmony in his household. So within a week, I hear from my friend, I'll call her by her first name, Lisa. I hear from her. And she says, Stu, you can't believe what's going on. She says, miracles are happening. The kids' prayers are being answered. So it turns out to be the first one, he had a vision. He went to heaven and saw the pearly gates in his sleep. He had a dream. And he saw the pearly gates and he saw Jesus, or not Jesus, but he saw these large archangels. Everything was gold sidewalk and gold block walls. Because he told me later in person about it. But she described it. Then she says that her son got his tennis shoes. And that he went over to this other store and they told him, well, we don't have it your size here, but let me check the computer. So he bought three pairs of tennis shoes. Oh, he wanted those tennis shoes. So he bought three pairs. They shipped them to the store for him. He got his tennis shoes. The third one, this happens within about a week and a half. He comes over knocking on the door at her house at about 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. Well, he usually would show up at his buddy's house, her son, at about 11 o'clock, she said, maybe noon. But she said he's showing up 8 o'clock. Oh, Lisa, Lisa, you can't believe what happened. Now, this is Azagi. You can't believe what happened. And here's what did happen. That night, Lisa said she goes in about midnight or something. And she goes in from her bedroom. She had a nice 2,500 square foot three-car garage ranch. Her and her mother bought together. She was divorced. This is before she met her husband. She goes through there, and or after she had met her husband, she goes through the hallway, past, you know, kind of a nice entry, large living room, into the kitchen. And her son was into this break dancing stuff where they're dancing on their head and all this stuff. He became a champ in Las Vegas, by the way, in high school. But him and his buddies were into this stuff. And all of a sudden, she sees him fall and thud. And she thinks, what? So she runs over to him. Are you okay? Are you okay? And he won't come back. He's knocked out. She starts screaming for her mother. Mother comes running out there. And so she's calling 911. And Lisa's saying, come on, Mom, let's pray over him. And they're praying over him. Wait for the ambulances. And they show up. Just before they show up, he comes all of a sudden out of nowhere. He just comes back. And he says, what happened? And so the ambulance checked him out and they left. Well, next morning, Soggy comes over there. Oh, you can't believe what happened. You can't believe what happened. She said, well, tell me what happened. And, you know, her son's standing there. And they go in the kitchen, sit down. And he tells her, man, I saw you come out of your bedroom. I saw you walk by. I saw so-and-so, and he, you know, how he fell and everything on doing his break dancing. You ran over and you screamed for your mom. And she's calling the ambulance. They came out, checked him out. He says, I saw that. And he said, when I saw you say, come pray, Mom, with me, he says, I ran over there and put my hand down on his head, and I prayed for God to bring him back, and he came back. He did that in a sleep vision, folks. Now, the last one, he asked for peace and harmony, and it turned out to be that the truth was, he was praying himself after that prayer. His mother and father were having problems because they had laid off his father, and as soon as he got about 3 months down the road, still unemployed as an engineer of some type, they were in trouble on their house, and it was causing a lot of conflict between the two of them. Well, after prayer, he got a job, except he got double the pay, folks, that he had before. Now, this prayer is being answered because of you being in agreement with someone, but they have to ask themselves. Go ahead, Paul or Joe.
There's a lot that you guys have covered, and I want to try and make a couple of observations, and then I have at least several questions. I'm going to start with the best way to control the opposition is to lead it. And I don't know if it was Duke of Shelby, also known as Stalin, or Lenin, that I should attribute that quote to, but here's the point, that every president is selected. And I used to think that maybe Ronald Reagan was the best actor. I just said from the very beginning, that Dutch is one phony. He may be the biggest phony I know. And that was back during a time in the 80s where, you know, you could hold different political viewpoints. And it was okay. But my issue with Dutch is I couldn't in any way make sense of his so-called fake conservatism. Now, I didn't exactly know it at the time, but the Hinckley so-called assassination that was, I think it was a message rather than a real, true attempt to assassinate him. I think they wanted Dutch to stay alive and just send him the message, you're not in charge, you sleep in, you read from the teleprompter, happy daddy, 41, he is going to be president for the next 12 years, and he was. All right, so just want to move fast forward to Donald Trump. Trombone is what I call him. And my thing on Trombone is I had problems with him from the start. I watched all of those debates before he was selected, and I watched the media fawn over him and promote him. And I said, oh, man, this is just pure deception. And, of course, he became the nominee. And he appeared to have this too close a relationship with black-eyed Jonathan Bush. Some people call Jonathan Bush Jeb. I don't know where that comes from. But nobody can use their real name anymore. You know, Willard Romney is supposedly met. And I don't know, AOC.
Or that Romney, his cousin, by the way, his cousin, FBI, Stone Street, was the one that tried to assassinate me running the hit teams here in Kansas City. But go ahead. Division number five, yeah, answer to Strzok, you know, the one that testified for the Congress, arrogant bastard, worked for the CIA and FBI both. Go ahead.
Well, the Bush family is just, it is American royalty and a crime syndicate. And the only family I would put up there with the Bush family in terms of connections to the Nosferatu would be the Collins family. Anyway, they're both based out of Maine. And, of course, the Bush clan is all over Texas and Denver and everywhere else. But I just want to make the point that Trump And, you know, during the Reagan years, you could have different opinions, but I was a little bit surprised that when I expressed my concerns about Reagan, that it nearly cost me some friendships. But specifically, liberal women, white women, said, I just hate Trump, I just hate him. And I said, well, you're supposed to. And they'd look at me and say, well, what are you talking about? And then I would try and explain to him that it's a duopoly in Washington, that the whole thing is, it's just political theater.
You
said there
it.
Is no legitimate difference between the left and the right, because the New World Order and Zionism controls both parties. And Stu, you've got way too much evidence for right now, but I just want to move into the bigger point, and that is that a selected president follows a script. There are people either behind the scenes or above humans that are controlling things. And what we're watching right now is pure political theater today as we broadcast. They are now talking about arguments for impeaching Trump. Now, anybody that does any thinking realizes that this whole second impeachment is just pure theater. There's no reason for it. It is a distractor. And we are being distracted with headlines. We are being distracted with disinformation and misinformation. Now I'm going to move into a bigger point that Joel made. Worldwide, the New World Order, the H-plus team, the Luciferians, their agenda is very far along, but many of us, most of us, we have no access to what's happening in Europe. We have no access to what's happening in the Middle East, nor Africa or anywhere else. You really got to be somewhat diligent and do your due diligence and try and figure out what's happening in other parts of the world. We have pure chaos in America. We have no rule of law, no functioning civil institutions, no civil society, all by design. And this whole Trump incited the rioters. Well, Trump just played his role. He gave a speech that was at best ambiguous. I didn't hear any call to arms, but all of these so-called protesters that are, you know, QAnon people, well, QAnon is just one big psyop, and it just perpetuates. We've got so many false narratives going. And I want to go back to Joel's point on Europe. Europe was tricked. The Europeans, well, Europe has long been just nothing but a shit show, from the unification of Germany to the French believing that that all of the people that they invited from Morocco and all of their colonial projects, that when those people came over to Paris and France, that they would be like the French. You see, the French say, well, we're always French first, and then we're something else next. And the whole idea that the Muslim population would come over to France from Morocco or other colonies and become French, it's just ludicrous. And so Europe has become very old in terms of white people and very tan. And what's happening in Europe is happening in America and happening in other places. The biggest two agendas that they've tried to get Europeans to fall for and Americans to fall for is this idea of a secular unity. And this secular unity is based on a couple of ideas. One, climate change, global warming, we got to do something about it. We all need to be world citizens. And then this overpopulation meme. And it is supported, of course, by almost everyone. And now I want to dance a little bit and bring up Joel's other point, which is about the Zionist infiltration of the so-called Christian church. I don't even know what the Christian church is anymore. Once you have the Scofield Bible, and once they started printing those Bibles, they really did bang into everyone's head. It's Israel. It's always Israel. It's always about Israel. Jerusalem is a Kremlin. It's a burdensome stone. It's the timepiece for the world. Now, that comes from Zechariah and in the Old Testament. And then you've got, of course, what Jesus says. And I do need to now ask a question, two questions for Joel. One, to me, it seems like the people you mentioned, Pat Robertson, and Robertson and his time and endeavor and everything else about 700 Club is so obviously phony and mockery, basically. And then you get into Kenneth Copeland and Prosperity Gospel and all those people sending money and then him just throwing all those prayer requests in the garbage can. And then, of course, the Crouch family. Jimmy Swaggart.
By the way, Ken Copeland's family was the DuPont family. Go ahead.
Boy, that's a great connection. Hey, I do want to mention something. I think people have to do their own research sometimes. I researched Benjamin Netanyahu, not his real name, and I came up with Mel Kowalski. And I came up with that his father was Polish and his mother's surname was Lurie, Mary Lurie or something close to that. And Charlene came up with some different research. And one of the things about doing programs like this and holding court at times is when we give out information, we really better make sure that we have done thorough research. And oftentimes it's tempting to go with emotion and make connections that either aren't there or are there and difficult to prove. But I do think, and I have a jaded attitude towards scholarship, but I think when it comes to Netanyahu, it helps me make my secondary point about Trump and Netanyahu and Putin, who I don't even think is the original, of course, or Vladimir Putin. But all of these guys behind the curtain are in it together. And I would even propose that on this vaccination effort, you've got Benjamin Milikowski or Netanyahu, choose your name. I use Milikowski because that's his name to me. You know, this whole gift from God Netanyahu nonsense does not work for me. Very real name, it's terrible. I really have no clue where we came up with Barack Obama. It all still confuses me to this day. But I want to make a point that behind the curtain, behind the scenes, they're all in it together. And this brings my next question. Well, actually, I have two questions for Joel. I'll save for when I finish. So you have all of these people working together behind the curtain. And now I'm going to add some other players, North Korea and Iran. And what you have is Iran is working with North Korea. Israel is working with China. America was sold out a long time ago. And the sedition and treason at the very top, at the middle level, at the local level, it is so thorough and so complete that we can only be at the end of an age, because what we're seeing with the weather, what we're seeing with the phony governance, what we're seeing with the disinformation from the press, it all leads to a new world order. Can they call it a great reset when it's really a setup? It's a setup to genocide humanity, and I don't disagree with Joel that the only resistance to their plan is the Christian or the believer in Jesus, the spirit-filled believer in Jesus, those endowed with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I my questions are twofold, essentially. The book of Revelation seems to be the blueprint for the new world order. Joel, you said earlier, I think that there is now end times prophecy. It's all just their playbook. Does that include the book of Revelation? And what are we to make of the book of Revelation from a prophetic standpoint? As in, is it God's revelation to John, or is it something else? Is it a playbook that they've created to be followed?
It's a playbook that they've created to be followed.
Okay, which then would support my next assertion, And that is all of these televangelists, they were never sincere. They were never believers. It's all been one huge scam, and they're all in it together. Can you confirm that you agree that these people have no sincerity and they are COINTELPRO basically?
Because Paul Crouch got on there and one time said, it costs $10,000 a month to hook up to the satellite, and we need your help. I sat on a vestry board of a very small church for 14 years. There was no way that the Crouches could have received money through donations to cover $10,000 a month. Impossible. It is accountancy-wise impossible to do that. And it turns out there is a Jewish family that was behind the Crouches called the Greedy family. And that's where the money came from. And I can tell you, how can Jimmy DePlantis say, with all good conscience, God has told me to have another jet airplane? You don't get that off of, you do not get that off of donations. I personally saw a snuck-in video of Benny Hinn passing a bomb to another man at his mansion. And the man sitting next to him, 2 weeks later, was dead from a heroin overdose at his mansion in Malibu.
I might add to that, Joe, if I may. Otis Johnson, Super Spook, during Iran-Contra, they did Food for Africa. And the 700 Club, Pat Robertson, is raising all this money for these people in Africa. So they flew one plane load over. They shot a video about a dozen different times, different people, different clothes, you know, a lot of the same people, different clothes, make them look different. Shot this for a day while they're handing out food to people from one plane load. But he did this for an entire year, and he raised hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, Daddy Bush wanted part of that money. So Otis was sent in as an assistant to Casey during Iran-Contra to ensure that the money got moved into a bank in Scotland, where now Pat Robertson has $2.5 billion worth of stock holdings in Scotland. But what they did is they took that money and they bought an African mine down there. And the mine, they said you could take a gallon of water and pour it on the ground because they didn't ever get rain down there, and diamonds would show up on the surface. Well, that's what they went after. And that's what made Pat Robertson rich. Now, I remember Pat Robertson when he's running for president of the United States. He made a comment. He says, oh, someone asked him, well, are you going to give up Jesus for the presidency? He says, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here is a way, here is one of the more subtle ways that these men make money. Because in my book, all you have to do is connect the dots with what Pat Robertson did, and you come up with the idea, hey, these guys are trafficking. What are they trafficking? Anything. Here's one of the little things they do. In the income tax book, or in the tax book, if you build a parsonage as part of the church where the preacher is going to live, it is exempt from property tax. Get it? If you build a parsonage, that property is exempt from property tax. Think about what I just said. You can build a $64 million mansion and not have to pay property tax on it.
Now, you're talking 501c3s, correct?
No, I am not. No.
Okay, but you're talking of property tax. Okay.
I'm talking about property tax. Mm-hmm. That is one of the subtle little things. Every one of these big evangelists, you take a look at Kenneth Copeland's property. It's huge, mammoth. It's a castle. He pays no property tax.
No.
Because it's delegated as a parsonage.
Okay, I want to add to that. The reason that they have the 501c3s is to keep the bondage of Satan on them. And they,
yes,
so they get
yeah,
their income tax. Yeah. But one of the things they cannot do as a 501c3 is talk politics, tell someone how to vote. That's one of the things they can't support as a 501c3. That's one of the things that keeps their tongue quiet.
All right, what I'm demonstrating here is how these guys make their money. And one of the things, there was one man in New Orleans that was an investigative reporter, I can't remember his name, dogged Jimmy Swaggart. And one of the things that Swaggart did was he and other gentlemen of big money was very heavily involved in Louisiana real estate worth millions of dollars. Get it? The parsonage? They could delegate anything as a parsonage. Those are some of the more subtle things that these people do that we are not privy to.
Now, I want to bring up one thing. The guy, John Hagee, he runs some Christian organization to support Israel. And he's got all these people underneath his banner, basically, taking money to support people in Israel, orphans and so on and so forth. It's all bogus shit. Israel uses that against us and against Christianity. They use the money, the government does. Anyway, thought I'd bring that up. That guy's a joke. He's a real joke.
Let's be a little bit amplified on John Hagee. Now, John Hagee has taken Zionism to the extreme. But he's really the guy that helps you figure out the agenda, because he's a little bit more specific, and that is there are two covenants. And so what John Hagee teaches is there is the covenant that the Goyim or the Gentiles have, and then there's God's covenant with Israel.
And them being the chosen people. And Israel being the chosen people. Oh God, they're chosen. But for what are they chosen for? They were the Christ killers. What are they chosen for? They don't even believe in Christ, most of them over there. What are they chosen for? Us to be praying for their salvation.
Well, God had to choose somebody. And God chose Abraham. And Abraham is where essentially you begin with a covenant that he will bless those that bless him. Well, it didn't go so well for the 12 tribes. Within several hundred years, they were all in Egypt in captivity and spent about 400 years in Egypt before they were let out. And then you have basically Israeli history between the 12 or the 13 tribes, and that is covered fairly significantly in the first 5 books of the Bible. But I just want to fast forward to, you have something that Joel and I, we've both spent a great deal of time considering, studying, researching, trying to put perspective. And what you have then is Jesus who comes, Jesus the man, and Jesus the Son of Man, and Jesus the Son of God. And he says, I am going to die and redeem you from your sin, because you can't keep the law. You cannot keep the law of Moses. You can't do it in the flesh. It's been proven. And subsequently, after the death and ascension of Jesus, you have a few that goes at least 30 plus years until the destruction of Jerusalem, and that is the feud between Saul Paul and James the Just, who James being the biological brother of Jesus. And we can't really get into that, but essentially what the point I want to make is, at this point, there is only spiritual Israel. And there only 623 commandments, and most of them are ceremonial. And now we're really down to the Ten Commandments. And what we are seeing now with the New World Order and Zionism is those Ten Commandments don't matter. Spiritual Israel doesn't matter. What really matters to the Zionist is the Noahide laws. And that's the direction this is all going. And anyone that dare resists the New World Order, back to Russ Wittberg, is going to get their head lopped off. I do have to tell you guys, we are two men of warning already. And I think we ought to close out now and do another rebroadcast. But what say you guys?
Joe, you got any last words?
Like I say, be careful of what they're presenting now. Call the chosen. Things have not changed. How do these TV evangelists get their money? And they, in my book, they traffic. Because I saw the video of men that confronted Billy Graham, who was trafficking prostitutes through his organization, Christian Women.
Can I ask a question? Is anybody aware of that on the night that Daddy Bush attacked Iraq the night before, when this is Gulf War I, and he attacked him because he had sold these biological chemical agents, part of them were manufactured through to Colorado that contaminated the Colorado River and gave it red tide. Part of it contaminated the East Coast in Florida where they gave it red tide, where Barbuti mixed it for him. Milman was involved, Daddy Bush was involved, and they sold these biologicals which later were used on our troops in the Scud missiles that rained down upon our troops, that were the biological chemical agents known as Gulf War syndrome, etc. That was from the first Gulf War. The night at the White House, Billy Graham was there as they're discussing killing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Billy Graham was in there praying with Daddy Bush, the Satanist. Just thought I'd add that.
The web of deceit is so dark, so deep, and so vast. If the listener is anything like me, it does give you whiplash, and it leaves you saying it's all a lie. Everything is deception. And I think we've covered some significant territory here. I think we've given you the big picture.
The only deception you have is if you believe the preachers are going to pray for you and it's going to happen. You want prayer? Do it yourself. You want to become a prayer warrior like Joy is, like Paul is, like others? Start praying for this country. Start asking God to bring it back to righteousness and clean this evil out of here. With that said, Paul, would you lead us in prayer?
Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to present our findings. We hope that our message is guided by your wisdom and your truth and your will. We ask for your mercy. We know that you didn't have to show us any mercy, but instead you chose to redeem us, and you gave us Jesus, and Jesus came in the flesh. And he taught us through parables, and he was given disciples who turned into apostles, and the death and ascension of Jesus to your right hand led to the creation of the original church, and the original church being the universal or Catholic church that went into apostasy very quickly. And that leads me to my point that we are surrounded by apostasy. It's not just the ways and the things of the world. It's those that come in your name now that are wolves in sheep's clothing. We ask that you take the scales off our eyes, and that you show us who you are, and that you shine brightly in all of us, first of all, through our repentance, through our holiness, and through our righteousness. We ask that in the days to come and the hours ahead, that you hedge your protection over those that believe in you and are willing to follow your ways of righteousness and holiness. We ask that in the days and the times ahead, that you raise a remnant, and that remnant will become all powerful and expose all evil. We ask all of those things in the name of Jesus, claiming the blood of Jesus to wash over all of us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
All right, the prayer that I have spoken are the words that I have spoken. Let that be my prayer. And folks, go watch Elmer Gantry on YouTube. That will tell you who the TV evangelists are.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Paul. And folks, by the way, my website's down according to people today, so it should be back up by the time this radio program's up. That's an example of trying to shut down First Amendment rights. The super attacks have been on. Later. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.